Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
ここいるんだ。
本当？見えないでしょ。どこにいるのかな。ね、見えない。
What's good, internet? It is December 23rd. Almost at the end of the year. My voice is just it's a disaster. I'm coming to you live from Queens, along with Patrick Klepek. Danielle Riendo.
In Brooklyn. I'm not in Queens.
Brooklyn and Queens. You know.
Well, we're all in Queens in my heart. We're all close together. We're all on webcams today.
Yeah.
So it's going to be one of those days. It's the last day of our year, sort of, kind of, in that, like, it's next week. It's all end of year stuff.
Yeah.
And we're prepping for that stuff. But right now, like, this is our last proper day where we're like, hustling to get things up on the site that we like from nothing, right? Like everything else we've been prepping for a long time. So I feel like I'm in a mode of just like, all I want to do is prep. All I want to do is get next week ready.
Yeah.
But it's still Friday. We have to do a podcast. We have to like make sure that there are things on the website today, things like that, you know?
Timely things. Yeah.
Timely things. You got to be timely.
Timely Queens and Kings.
That's it. And Chicagoans.
Yeah, Chicago. I'm only saying Kings because Brooklyn is in Kings County.
I was
going
to say, what does that make me stem? I live, well, no, I'm not. I was about to say where I live, and never mind.
Yep.
Don't dox yourself.
Don't do that.
Don't say things like that on the internet.
Yep.
No.
I had a joke, but I was like, oh, that joke is doxing myself. And Waypoint is not into doxing.
Mm-mm. We're anti-doxers.
Anti-dox. Pro-poplio, anti-dox. Yeah.
Yeah, good. Uh-huh. Pro-poplio. Pro vaccination.
Yes, very much so.
Anti-dox.
Pro vax, anti-dox.
Exactly. So how's it going? How's the week been for you two? Are you getting in the festive spirit here on Festivus?
Here,
if you've been
Festivus.
Paying attention on Twitter, Rand Paul has been on his Festivus blast today. That's
he
how
sure
I knew it was
has.
Festivus, which is a weird thing. I don't follow Rand Paul. I just his tweets showed up because it was Festivus.
Yeah,
it's a new Twitter feature. I think
it just shoves Rand Paul's tweets into your into your feed.
Yep, it just happens.
That's how you celebrate Festivus in 2016. You read the tweets of Rand Paul. That's
so
how it is.
Last night, Twitter did do a thing that was like really frustrating on my phone, which is at the very top of my phone. It was like, "Hey, the Eagles are playing the Giants."
Mm. Yeah,
and I'm an Eagles fan, so like I grew up an Eagles fan. I have like a signed Randall Cunningham, like Sports Illustrated. Like I'm that dude.
Good.
And so it's like, "Oh, cool, the Eagles are playing." I don't want to watch this right now because I'm busy doing other things on Twitter. Mm-hmm. Let me scroll down. I'm like, no, you're going to watch this. I couldn't get the only way to get rid of it was to say, I'm not interested in this, but like I am interested in it, just not right this second. Like,
what are you doing
cool
using
feature.
The official Twitter app?
Listen, I
buy
so here's
TweetBot
actually,
and get like move on with your life.
No, so here's the thing: is I was using various apps to do tweets for years.
Okay,
I was a TweetBot person.
Yep.
I was a TweetDeck person on desktop. And the thing is that eventually I changed what Twitter was for me. Like I used those because they were like pretty good at if you wanted to really engage with Twitter and read what everyone you followed said. And then I wound up following 1700 people, which is too many people. And so at that point, Twitter switched from being like, oh, my friends, my cool friends, like to like all of my cool friends.
Everybody.
There's too many of you. I can't keep up with you. So now I use a worse Twitter app so that when I dive in, it's easy to get the fuck out. Because I'm like, nah, bye.
Some next
bye.
Level
I don't,
denial.
That's
kind of.
That logic, I'm not
nope.
like, I don't want to, I don't really want to parse
You're
that
wrong.
Logic. I want to let you be you.
It's,
I'm just going to let that one go.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Just, that's, it's out there. That's.
It's like if you were like, if you had a problem where you're like, ah, I'm addicted to fishing. I love going out on my boat and fishing. And like, ah, my boat has some holes in it. I can't go fishing. I guess I have to stay home and like fix the dishwasher or whatever broke
fish in
instead.
There. Yeah, that's fine. Just fish in there.
In my scenario, the things that people do with their lives is fish and fix dishwasher.
Yeah, That sounds
sounds like an Eagles fan.
That's true. There you go. That's accurate.
There you go.
I don't want to talk about the Eagles this year, but
yeah. Oh, they got promised. I like Carlos.
So how are you doing? What are you up to? How's your week been?
There's a squirrel carrying an apple behind me. Oh, so that part was pretty good.
Can I ask you a question? Did it come in through the old outlet hole?
No, we fixed the outlet. Yeah,
can we get an update on the outlet hole?
Outlet update? No, we're good. You buy this little thing from Home Depot. It's $2. It's an outlet insulator. It goes inside the little shallow part of you take off the outlet. You just screw it off. You put it in there. It's kind of like the lining you put on a window or a door.
Okay.
During the cold season, you do that for your outlets, and boom. You're done. I have to do more. I have to buy insulation and kind of pack it in there. But I'm most of the way done. I'm most of the way done. It's no longer 2 degrees in my office.
That's Danielle, good. Have you been doing any home repairs or maintenance?
I sure have, actually. Believe it or not, a whole lot of trying to treat my floor because my dog keeps pooping and peeing on the hardwood floor. and it's starting to make stains. Pretty.
You got a problem
up.
There. That's not great.
Yeah. So. That's my home maintenance story. Mm. Maintaining poop, pretty much. Yeah. It's good.
I do that too.
Just, yeah.
You know, mine's a little more contained into a diaper scenario as opposed to the wood floor.
Drake might be wearing a diaper pretty soon. That we're getting to that point where my 1-year-old dog.
Is that a thing? Wait, is that a thing?
It's usually for elderly dogs who are actually incontinent.
It's Drake. Like it's that, or if you know, your dog gets into some bad stuff, situation or something where you know it's going to be constant.
It's going to be rough. Yeah.
It is a chocolate situation.
It's a chocolate situation.
If they eat chocolate, they can have a chocolate situation.
Yeah, pretty bad.
Danielle, have you looked into whether there is just something like physically messed up with Drake?
I have. I mean, he's been checked out. He's very healthy. He's in great shape. He's a healthy dog. He just has anxiety that's like off the actual charts and really bad separation anxiety. And because I don't work from home every day anymore, he was once potty trained. He was doing good. Smooth sailing. Yeah. Like he was very happy with the trees outside. He was doing great. And then when I stopped working from home, he regressed a little bit into like hard puppyhood and then into like defiance
hard
pooping.
Puppyhood.
Like,
oh, yeah, you know that hard puppyhood.
Yeah, real bad. Defiance pooping. Like, for real.
Great.
So, yep. It's pretty good. Well, it's a pretty good situation. Pretty fun.
You both keep us updated with your home maintenance stuff. For now, I kind of want to talk about video games.
That's a good
idea. Do you?
I finally played a game people have been on my case about for a while.
Doom.
Dragon Quest Builders.
Okay. No, that's a good game. That's a good game.
It starts with a D. Dragon Quest Builders. Is the game that I was playing.
Oh, that's a good game.
I put like 4 hours into it last night.
Uh-huh.
And really am liking it. It's one that I was like actually a little. It's like a game that I know that there's a version of me who would love it, but I didn't know if I was that version of me right now.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Yes. Go for it.
Okay. So I'll make it this way. There are games. All right. Here's another example. I loved Dynasty Warriors, also a D game, for years.
All
for
this
years
D.
And years and years.
I don't know.
And all this D. For years and years and years, I will still defend my love of Dynasty Warriors, but I have a hard time actually playing Dynasty Warriors games now because I don't have a ton of free time, and they are like big free time sinks. Like, to get the enjoyment I get out of a Dynasty Warriors game means needing lots and lots of free time. Like, it's a great podcast series. It's a great game for like, I'm going to just vibe out and just, I have downtime. I'm a college student. I'm a grad student. I have some downtime. I can use it to just like kill thousands of ancient Chinese warriors.
It's a good self-care game.
Lu Bu.
It's a great self-care. Yeah. It's a great, Lu Bu, Zhou Yu.
That's
like
right.
I could
I know anything
deep.
About Dynasty Warriors, but I know,
you know
Lu Bu.
That's because Lu Bu.
Lu Bu
makes himself known.
Lu Bu is dropping his mixtape.
Good. Good. I hope he does.
Little Boo.
I would listen to, there's a real good Twitter account, Chef Lu Bu, who is a chef and also is into some hip hop stuff, and shout outs to Chef Lu Bu. His cooking stuff on YouTube is actually really good.
Follow right there.
But so in some ways I was afraid Dragon Quest Builders would be the opposite thing, which is that like Dynasty Warriors is like an anxiety, it's like a self care game, because it's like I have a lot of free time and I can just like disappear and just I feel better about myself. Bye, China. I killed everyone there. Like, that's what happened in ancient China, not modern China, where we got to work on our relationship with you, but we'll work it out. In games like Dragon Quest Builders or Stardew Valley, specifically with Stardew Valley this year, I couldn't get into a relaxed enough place where that game wasn't stressing me out. Like, people think I should love Stardew Valley, and I see why it's good, but I have a hard time, like, chilling enough to not be overwhelmed by all of the deadlines and all of, like, there's seasons in that game, and I'm always afraid I'm going to fuck up by, like, not getting the right crops planted in time or having a crop planted a couple of days. And, like, so I'm doing all this math, and, like, when do I go to the mines? Like, what's my relationship like with all these different people?
Yeah, that game seemed like you needed to get, like, 10, 15 hours in where you could finally take a breath, and I never got to the
exactly
point
it.
Where I made it to there. And, like, all the people were having so much fun with it on Twitter. I was like, I want to be there. I want to be
too.
At that point, but I'm having trouble getting over this hump because I really liked everything that game was doing except for getting to that place.
Totally. So, like, that game, Dragon Quest Builders, a game that came out a few years ago called Fantasy Life, are all, like, in my head, the sort of self-care games I want to be able to engage with. And they all do one or two things slightly differently, which is that that have made them different degrees of accessibility for me, which was, like, in Stardew Valley, because everything was on a timer and because I wanted to engage with everything, it felt like I was going to fuck myself over because I'd fuck up in one area and then it would slip seasons and the clock would move on. In Dragon Quest Builders, my fear was that the making of stuff, like the design of stuff and, like, laying out your town would be too time consuming. And then if I did it wrong, there'd be real big repercussions. And so I would obsess over it. And then in Fantasy Life, the thing that worked really well was they limited how much stuff you could really focus on at a time because you could only be one, like, job at a time. And there was some connection where, like, okay, the fighter class, basically the way you progress in that is by killing things, and you can kill things even when you're not the fighter class. But, you know, if you're a miner, all of your stuff is going to be about mining stuff. So I was able to, like, zero in and focus. But it turns out that the way the Dragon Quest Builders is set up, I'm able to do the thing where I focus. I don't feel like I'm losing. There's no, like, fear of missing out, right? There's no, like, I'm going to fuck up and lose my ability to get the mines, you know, get the building built that I want to get built in time or anything like that. It's has, like, very discrete kind of sections of, like, there's a big open world and you're building stuff and you have missions from all your people. And it's really clever and charming, and I'm really enjoying it so far. It's sort of like a reverse Dark Souls, like, narratively.
Okay. Like, emotionally?
Okay.
No, like, literally, like, like, lore-wise. Do you know the setup for Dragon Quest Builders?
I mean, I played the first hour. It's just,
okay.
I mean, it's kind of a weird, dark setup. Like, humanity's in a bad place. I also think it Dragon Quest Builders, if I remember correctly, I don't know much about the mythology of the Dragon Quest series. That's just, like, a JRPG series I just never, ever touched in any manner. But I am under the impression, I'm scratching at the back of my brain, that the setup for Builders is like, related to, like, a bad ending of Dragon Quest 1 that doesn't happen. Like,
that's
correct. You have a choice at the end of Dragon Quest 1 in which you can, like, choose to side with the bad guy or not.
Yep.
And if you do that, the game's like, yo, game over, asshole.
Yeah,
and
why would you choose
the bad
ending?
And then you
have
to load an old save and then do it the right way.
Beat the boss again,
And this game canonically tries to think about what happens if darkness took over, I think, right? Is that true?
That's exactly right. Yeah. And so the thing that ends up happening is you start talking to people.
Yeah.
Swish, you got it. You paid attention to that first hour of that game you played.
Well, that was mildly condescending.
No.
Oh, no.
I'm saying.
Rewind,
like, you did
how you just phrased that.
Okay.
Austin Walker.
Congratulations. I'm trying to find a way to.
Stop saying congratulations. Congratulations
congrats.
Is where this starts.
Congrats. You did it. We play a lot of games, Patrick, and it's easy to let them sometimes slip through our grasp.
Okay,
it happens.
Sure that,
But hey, nice work,
thanks,
buddy.
I don't know about this.
So to go back to the Dark Souls thing I was trying to say, he's like, you're the character who knows how to build stuff in this world. Everybody else has forgotten how to build things. They don't have a creative spark. everybody else.
Collective building amnesia.
Totally. Like, they're like, what do you mean you build stuff? Like, we just go around places and find stuff. And it immediately made me think about the worlds of Dark Souls, where it's like, no one can make anything new. Like, if you have a sword, it's because you found it on a corpse somewhere.
Yeah.
If you have a shield, it's because, like, you killed someone and took their fucking shield.
Crafting is illegal.
And that, exactly. So there's this like, it almost feels like an alternate world in which, what if when I went to to Lordran, I was like, instead of like going and fucking up everybody and getting their Lord souls, they can go do their thing and I'll deal with them in a bit. But for now, like, I really got to upgrade this Firelink shrine. Like, yeah. I got to make this place look dope. Like,
I would be into a Souls game with a base building mechanic.
Me too. Me too. A lot. And so this obviously is nothing like Dark Souls beyond that. Like, I don't think that this game is like, the combat is actually really bad. I wish it was a little bit more involved. I wish there was a dodge roll so badly. Yeah. It's just like a lot of.
You want some more Dark Souls in this game.
I want more Dark Souls in this game.
Dark Souls Builders. Yeah, next year. Coming out.
But I think that would be so. I don't tease me. I would. I would love that game. Me and like Patrick and four other people.
I'd try it.
Fine.
But it is like a deeply hopeful game, and or so far anyway. Dragon Quest Builders, and it definitely has the one more turn bug, of just like, oh yeah, I'm just gonna complete this. This guy just needs a couple beds. I'm gonna make him a couple beds. I'll turn this into, this lady wants her own bedroom. I'll build her own bedroom. It'll take me 20 minutes or 30 seconds. I'll get it done. Done. Like, oh well, what's the next thing? She just wants me to go grab some berries. Like, yeah, I'll get some berries. It's totally. And it also definitely reminds me of playing games like Minecraft or Starbound or Terraria with other people, who would be like, when I play those games with my friends, I'm sometimes like, oh, I'm going to go out on an adventure and see what I can find. And they'll be like, hey, can you find some gold? Because if you get some gold, I'm going to do like a really dope gold inlay. And I'll be like, wow, that's amazing. You're a creative human being, not like me. I don't know how to do anything in Minecraft, but I'll get you the shit you need to be creative.
Yeah.
And that is a fun like thing. And this game has some of that.
You do the mining, like, they do the crafting. I like that.
Exactly.
That's nice.
And kind of like a give and take. It's been really fun. I'm gonna probably play through more of it. It's gonna be a good holiday game, I think, of just like, okay, we're in it. I have to get these stories up today, but in between getting those stories up, I'm gonna be playing Dragon Quest Builders.
Yeah.
I am currently staring at a tracking notice at USPS.com for a. I don't know if people probably not reasonably so. Following the evolution of the Frog Fractions ARG that we have
shit.
Written about in the past, I will catch I'll catch people up to speed because we'll have a whole I'm following this. I wanted to write a story on it, but I've held off because it seems like everything's kind of going to some sort of conclusion. I say that not knowing the twists and turns ahead. What you think is the conclusion could be a red herring, but at the moment, without getting into all the things that people have been doing. Basically, there is a tiny little box that says FF2 launch that someone got as a result of solving a different puzzle. And it was shipped to them by someone involved in this ARG. Okay. And it has a key, or it has a lock for a key, but they don't have the key. And then the key was found by someone else in an escape room in Portland.
Okay.
And that key has now been shipped.
Like an escape room, like a room that you have to go into and they
yeah,
they
one
go,
of those games. Like, yeah, you solve a bunch of puzzles and at the end, usually you just escape. And in this one, you escape, but you also got this key because it was related to this Frog Fractions 2 alternate reality game. And right now I'm looking at the tracking for the key that was sent by someone in Portland to someone in San Francisco. And then that person will get the key. And then presumably they insert this key, they turn it, and Frog Fractions 2 launches?
Oh my God.
I don't know.
That's pretty exciting.
Yeah, it's weird to be watching this tracker. And
you're not getting it. It's not. The tracking isn't coming to you.
No, but
you're just
it is
privy to it. Yeah.
Yeah, the tracking number has been made available. It doesn't have the person's mailing address on. It's just so that people know they can watch in real time. Like when the key shows up, which means that will kick off a live stream in which the person turns the key on this box, and then I don't know. We see what happens from there.
Amazing, so intense.
That could
it's
be really
exciting.
Yeah.
Welcome to
the most
holiday
exciting
season.
USPS tracking page I've ever watched in my life.
Is there like the thing on some tracking software where it's like, oh, is this close to the destination? Like three more stops, or like is that a
I don't think we're quite there yet. Maybe in our Amazon drone future, we'll be able to have like a blue dot that we can follow. But right now, we just know that's what I need. It says it's in transit. It is supposed to be there literally in 10 minutes. Apparently, the guy normally gets his mail from USPS around 1 o'clock.
Is this a guy who's involved with Frog Fractions?
No, this is the guy who has the box that he got from solving one of the puzzles.
So he used to get the key and put the key in the box?
Yeah.
Wow.
That's an amazing game. Is this Frog Fractions 2?
I mean, it could be argued the ARG is Frog Fractions 2, but obviously there is software at the end of this. I don't know if you turn the key and then Steam is going to have Frog Fractions 2, right? But this is a wild way for this all to come to a conclusion, or whatever latest twist and turn it is.
Yeah. Who could say?
Who could say?
Danielle, have you been up to any hijinks, whether frogs or building or anything else?
Yeah, you know, I've been playing a lot of self-care games lately. Oh, I just played games from the self-care jam, and I'll talk about one of them, sort of the most involved. There's a lot of, like, little meditative games, like very small little, like, pixel art, like, hey, take a minute and chill kind of things. You know, self-care is like as a concept, it's like, take a minute. You know, take a minute for yourself, relax, take a breather. There was a game that I thought was really, really cool. Called This Dungeon Is So Cool. It's from Alexandra Van Chestain, the Havoc HQ on Twitter, I think. And it's like this really cool, like really fully featured dungeon crawler where instead of sort of insulting you and being mean and hurting you, all the enemies like compliment you or are like, oh, I'm sorry, did I hug you too hard? Like it's all these cute little sweet things. It has a lot of like custom art. It's really, really sweet. I think it's really nice. Good.
You wrote about this for the site, so maybe we'll go to the site and actually check that out.
Yeah.
Also, I just want to point out the person who designed it is in our chat right now.
Oh, sweet. Oh, well, hey, Alexandra.
Alexandra, I've been trying to do a panel with Alexandra at a PAX or something for years. Alexandra has done stuff with me back when I was a Giant Bomb. She's great.
Yeah, she's awesome.
Great artist. Really cool game maker. She's making a cyberpunk game that is really fucking cool, and that's all I'll say about that. So shout outs to Alexandra.
Also, yeah, super, super rad. I also started in on Oxenfree because I'm desperately trying to play all the games that are like, oh shit, like this could be on my list. Like there's like a list of 7 games. I'm almost done with my top 10. I feel good. Yeah, I feel good about what's on there right now, but I'm like, no, I'm missing like 7 things that I, knowing myself and knowing the people who have said good things about them, I'm like, oh, shit, it's like that, it's Virginia, it's Titanfall 2, it's Watch Dogs 2, there's a couple others that are just like, I need to taste them at least, you know.
What are the games that you have not had time for yet, but that you want to at least, like you said, get a taste for?
Yeah, yeah, well, definitely this, Virginia, and Titanfall 2, Watch Dogs 2. I need to spend more time with Quadrilateral Cowboy.
You should play more Quadrilateral Cowboy.
There are a couple more. What else? What else is on there? A couple of like smaller things as well that you know, just people were like, oh my God, this is such a cool thing. I didn't play any Thumper.
That happens to me every like, year around this time is like, I'm like, you know, oh yeah, I'm pretty sure I have what my list is. And then someone else's list has like some game I'd never heard of before. Yeah. Or something I'd heard of but had forgotten about. Event Zero might be that for me this year.
That's on my list. It's, yeah.
It's really good. And I haven't seen any of it at all. Yeah. I should check that out. In fact, I just thought of something else I want to add to my list because I really need to revisit Duskers, a game I really liked this year. But didn't get a chance to put more than a couple of hours into. There are so many games this year. I'm finding, and we kind of talk a little bit about this in a podcast next week. We will be pre-recorded. that despite this being a really fantastic year for games, like I'm overwhelmed by by the amount of games that I think are like from pretty good to super good this year. None of them like really knocked me the fuck out yet. I haven't finished Doom, Patrick. So.
Yep.
So that's
please. So what's on you? Always with an asterisk.
Yeah.
Exactly. What's on your list, Patrick, of games you didn't quite get a chance to look at yet?
The one thing I've noticed putting together my list, I think I have the games, but not the order. But one thing I did notice looking through, I keep a list of all the games that I put meaningful time into throughout the year so that I try to make sure that I remember like, oh, right, those games that I played between like, you know, January and June, like those games were good too. And it's not just the stuff that left like the most recent impression. Like it's very clear either or like there weren't a lot of like weird smaller stuff this year that was interesting, which I think is probably not true. And it's more that my list reflects that I spent a little too much time playing like catch up with a lot of the big stuff, which I think is partly due to there were a lot of open world games this year. So it's like an open world game is, you know, let's say, you know, bare minimum 20 hours. Like, that's like three other games you could have played.
Yep.
And so I think I might have miscalculated and spent a little too much time with some of those games that ultimately didn't pan out in the way I wanted. And like, I don't know, like I made this remark on Twitter to someone yesterday. I was like, I didn't play enough weird games this year. Yeah. Like, I just felt like I didn't dig deep enough to, like, I have a list that I like, and there are games that are interesting and did great things, but I like there, it's like, I usually take pride in like my list being a little stranger than it is. And it feels a little conventional, which is in one, some ways to say, like, there are a lot of great sort of conventional AAA games that were awesome this year. So maybe that's just the case for 2016, the games I was attracted to, but I also wish I had spent a little more time digging a little deeper, because I think there was other stuff out there that I just didn't have the time for, didn't look for. But like right now that I'm, you know, now that it's kind of like too late, like, you know, I can throw all the Hail Marys I want, but I have limited time to kind of figure that out. It's more like playing a game like Thumper. It's like, I know it's on my list. Like, there's a good chance it's my favorite game this year. But like, can you say that with 3 hours versus 7 hours? It's like, if I can find that 4 other hours and feel confident, then I can do that. But if not, then it's like, okay, well, then it's got to shift around in a way.
It's
so that's kind of where I am.
It's such a weird, difficult thing, too, because I think that, that question of like, where is the magic number where something can be on your list, and then how high can it be on your list based on. So, like, for me, something like Tokyo Mirage Sessions was a game that I was really enjoying and then got distracted and got busy, got super busy, and lost my chance to like play it if I wanted to stay current with the conversation.
Right.
And on one hand, the fact that I haven't made time to go back to finish it should maybe say something about that. But also, maybe not. Like, if I'm doing like a full accounting of what I enjoyed this year, then it probably includes Tokyo Mirage Sessions. Or Xenoblade Chronicles, which was X, which is huge, a huge game. I'm never going to have the time to go back and finish Xenoblade Chronicles X. But also has some of my favorite time with a game this year in that game. And that's a really tough question, because it's one thing if you have to go to an argument, right? If you have to do the Giant Bomb style, like, we're going to do a you know, a drag down, drag out. That's not what it's called. Is that what it's called? Knock down, drag out.
We got that.
I know terms.
Knock down.
Welcome to us. We're all writers.
Knock down, drag out.
That's right.
Austin Walker, Patrick Klepek, co-op, Let's Play, Platinum.
I love it.
Can we do
coming in 2017?
Love it so much.
You know that podcast, is like the worst movie podcast, the worst movie of all time podcast, where all they do is listen to or watch some terrible Adam Sandler movie every week and then do a podcast after it? Can we do that, but with Knack?
Yeah.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Like a Knack book club, one chapter at a time, people. We're gonna knack this down.
You're transition. Misunderstanding. So the thing you're misunderstanding is we have to play Knack every week forever, and then do a podcast afterwards.
Well, we could do the gaming equivalent of what Justin McElroy does. Where what is it he watch? Paul Blart, Mall Cop. Every year, and then he records a podcast with his buddies talking about it. Like, can we just do that for Knack?
New aspect.
Once a year, you have to replay Knack and just re-experience.
Re-examine it. Where are we at with Knack?
The Knackic.
Yeah.
Imagine the Knackic.
Re-Knack.
Re-Knack the holidays.
Getting knackered. That's what you should call it. See, you bring me for names. That's why I'm here.
Till death do us Knack. Podcast.
This is such a good thing. Also, shout outs. I really need to play more Blood and Wine. That's another one.
Oh, I need to play.
I barely dipped my toe, and that was one of my favorite games of the last like 5 years.
Let it die.
Let it die. So the thing I was trying to say before we got knacked, of course, is that if you're going to a knockdown drag out fight, then you pick the things that you know you can be like, oh, I beat it. I loved it. I know everything about it. Like, I'm ready to fucking go. And you can't do, you don't have to do that with your own personal list. Your own personal list, you can make weird jumps and
yeah.
all sorts of things that like are you can like make allowances for yourself just because you feel a certain way.
It's your little apartment. Ways, you can decorate it right. however you want. But That's the other exactly one is like right. you're in a house with other people and you got to make space for yourself.
That's a really good analogy. And I, in some ways, the latter, the like shared space, it gives you constraints that can help you zero in on things a little bit differently. There have definitely been cases where I've been wanting, where I've argued for something being the best game of the year, even though it's not my best game of the year or not my favorite game of the year, because I feel like it represents something grander.
Yeah.
Again, we're not doing like a big single Waypoints game of the year thing. We're doing individual awards. We're doing something else special to you'll see. I'm very excited
really
about
good.
It. I'm super excited about it. I'm going to go do some more layout after this.
Yeah.
But like if we had done it, I probably would have made cases for games like Overwatch, which might not be on my list at all, but are games that I had a lot of fun with and were so impressed in what their stamp on the culture has been that, you know, that's something I would want to give an award to.
You want
to
recognize that.
Totally. Speaking of recognizing things, Danielle and Patrick and Overwatch.
Yeah.
Since our last podcast,
Yay!
We all learned. What have we all learned?
The cavalry is queer.
The cavalry. Cheers, love. The cavalry is queer. Tracer from Overwatch is a lesbian.
Yeah, I'm so happy.
There was some debate about whether or not she was a lesbian or she was gay or if she was bi or pan or what. Mm-hmm. But they've come out and now said canonically Tracer is gay. Tracer is a lesbian. And that's rad. Like the thing that I really appreciated is a lot of queer voices who have said the rollout of this was maybe not ideal.
Sure.
But also it's hard to look at the waves of young queer folks being really thrilled with this reveal and not be happy for them, right?
Yeah.
Like not be excited that they have representation and they're excited by that representation. Like, that's pretty fucking rad.
Yeah, it's, you know, amazing. And it's definitely like a beautiful kind of recognition that this game that is so both critically acclaimed and popular and people love it and has this wonderful community, but like the cover character, you know, like
right.
person, like the face of Overwatch is a, you know, out and proud lesbian. Like
right.
that's so amazing. Like I personally am very excited about that. I think that's wonderful. I know a lot of my friends are very happy about it. Like it's just like, yeah, let's have a win in 2016. That's nice. It's a nice win, you know.
Totally. I am some of the response has been.
Yeah. Well, yes.
Frustrating,
yeah,
I guess.
It sure has.
It is, but you know, it's so easy to cherry pick.
Yes.
Ignorant, trolly.
Yeah.
Top 500 straights.
Hard to know what is malicious and what is
right.
trying to get a rise out of people who are enjoying something and are celebrating something. And I choose to, all that stuff is important and there are reasons to discuss it and the reasons for it existing. But I think like that is like such a tiny, small minority of like what has otherwise been
absolutely.
Like a really wonderful thing that has made a lot of people happy and brought them actual joy into
totally.
Their lives that goes beyond just a character being queer. Like it's something that like they identify with in the world and feels represents them, and they see it in the media that touches other people. And like that, it has been 99.9% of what I've seen. And
yeah.
and the other stuff, while like I said, like it's, you can't ignore it and you can't throw it under the bridge.
So,
but I just think it's otherwise been something that's made a lot of people very happy. And that makes me happy.
Yeah.
I am like, I think you're totally right that like a lot of it is definitely trolling. But I am curious, like, how do we reach the people who do, or do we even bother trying to reach the people who have a negative response that you can't empathize with it because, like, fuck off. But that you can see that they are being sincere in their response and are, like, insecure about something or vulnerable in a weird way.
Or confused or ignorant.
Yeah.
Deeply confused
don't,
and ignorant.
Don't have the
How do
the,
we reach
the vocabulary,
out to the,
yeah.
who, what is like, not in a personal sense, not like, because my personal way of dealing with that is often just, like, I don't have the time to respond to every person who follows me who disagrees with the thing. I can't be every, like, I don't have the capacity. I don't have it.
Yeah, you have to finish Doom.
I have
That's
to
right,
finish
you
Doom.
You got shit to do, Austin.
But like, as a culture,
shit to do.
How
shit to do. Yep. Shit to Doom. That's my dog's name, I think. His real name. No, but Austin, I think that's a really, really important question. And I actually, you know, like, I'm queer, and, like, I've definitely had to be this sort of bridge builder at times in my life. And personally, I cannot speak for all queer folks, but personally for me, it's a real gut check of, like, are you being sincere? Are you not being a total shithead? Are you just sincerely just confused about something? And in those cases, I like to make the effort to do bridge building. I like to make the effort to be like, look, here's the very baseline part of the argument. There's some folks who feel really good about this because representation actually is very important. It's something that everybody sees. Mainstream, big entertainment that reaches young queer kids who might not be seeing this stuff otherwise is actually really important. And it's important to have like good role models, even if it's like in a fairly kind of goofy context. That's an important thing. Like the baseline stuff, like, you know.
But Tracer is also just like the hero of Overwatch.
She's the hero.
Like,
not just, like, she's
like
face.
One of the few who just is like, oh no, she is unquestionably there to do heroism.
Yes.
Right? Yeah. Which is pretty dope.
It's a good thing. Yeah. So I like to do the bridge building with somebody that I feel just in a gut check moment is actually being sincere. If somebody's being an asshole, fuck off, you know? But if somebody's like a confused 17-year-old boy who like has probably read some shit on the internet and is maybe not like a shitty kid and is just like confused about some stuff, it's like, I can reach out to you. I can feel good about that moment of being like, look, not everything is the way it is in your high school or, you know, a corner of the world. Like, there's other stuff out there, and it's okay to be confused and be honest about that. But, like, think about how other people see the world, too, man.
It's so tough because it is fucking exhausting to carry that weight and to be the bridge builder. And I would never argue that anyone from a marginalized identity should have to do that work.
Absolutely.
At the same time, there's this terrible double bind of, like, there's this really good book about Kafka by Deleuze and Guattari called Kafka Becoming a Minor Literature. The point that they make about Kafka was that he was a German, Austrian Jew writing in Poland. And so when he wrote, everything he wrote by the critics of the time was read as a Jewish or a Yiddish analog or a foreign analog or a poor analog or... And the case that they're trying to make is that, like, when you are of a minority identity... When you're in a marginalized identity, you are always speaking for that identity because that's how people will read you, regardless of your intention. And that is a fucking trap.
It sucks. Yeah.
And so on one hand, like, I never want to have to insist, like, hey, you have to go be polite and be a crusader to make sure people like come to terms with the fact
ambassador
that the world is more diverse than
they
believe.
Ambassador of your life, kind of.
Exactly.
Shit.
Like,
yeah.
Fuck that. It's bullshit. It sucks. But at the same time, we are stuck in this position of, whatever I say, there will be someone who says that's what black people think.
Yeah, for sure.
Right?
Yeah.
And if someone else black does a thing, I will be asked what my thought is on it.
Sure.
Right? Like anytime a cop gets killed in the line of duty, some asshole on Twitter is like, hey, Austin, why don't you tweet about this?
Oh my God.
And it's like, why? Like, this, it's not what my life is, dog. And so that's like, it's such a tough balance to strike in personal life. And I think also at the larger cultural level can be really hard to know where to put your what initiatives to prioritize, and it's a difficult one.
It's hard. Go ahead, Patrick. Go ahead.
Well, I was just gonna say, you know, also, you know, if you look at the arc of public opinion on just sort of queerness and LGBTQ issues in general, like normalization is also like a huge part of this, and it's both wonderful and a problem that Tracer is such a big deal. Tracer's a big deal because it doesn't happen very often.
Yeah.
And so this would be less of an issue and less of a flashpoint if it was just that's how it was, not like it's, and the fact that it's a thing that, like, yay, like a character's gay and it's not a big deal, like, is itself a big deal. Like, you want it to be to the point where it's just expected that there's a broad spectrum of sexuality that's represented, whether it's remarked upon or not, because then it doesn't become a thing where, like, oh, developers doing it because of X, Y, and Z. It's like, nah, like, it's just because that's what games are, because that's what people are. And that's, of course, it's reflective of their audience and society. And so, like, the more that there is of that, I mean, the less that gives ammunition to folks that say, like, oh, they're doing it because of X. It's like, no, that's just how it is.
Yeah.
That's just it. There was this moment when I was playing Dragon Quest Builders last night, and you start the game, you get to customize your character, but, like, barely at all. There's no, like, hairstyles, there's no different sort of faces. It's just, like, skin color, eye color, and hair color. And it was this moment of, like, it would have been really easy for them to not include this at all.
Yeah.
Like, it's not so deep that it seemed intrinsic to the design. But somewhere someone said, like, people will want to make their own characters. We should give them these different options. And, you know, I've written about how Animal Crossing New Leaf didn't let you choose skin color before. And, like, that little option was, like, really just a fucking... Because it was so small and because it didn't necessarily, it wasn't going to affect a whole bunch of stuff. It was just there. It felt really great to have that option. It felt like someone sat down and thought about it for a second and said, it wouldn't be that hard to implement. Let's implement this. It will make some people happy. It will make some of our players happy, even though it's a minor thing in terms of our gameplay design. Let's do it. This is a game about creation. We should let people create the character they want to play too. And that's really fucking cool.
It's good to be included. It's good to feel included. Totally. It's good to feel like other people are included. Totally. I will never understand the mindset. I will attempt to understand the mindset, and I will do the work to try to understand how other people feel for sure. But I will never understand the mindset of like exclusivity or keeping things out because it would be somehow pandering or something like that. Yeah. It's like, how about every human being is valid stupid. And we act like that and we go from that assumption. That's a good one. I like that one.
It's a good starting place. that was a bigger topic than I thought it would be. Good. But we got through it. I'm gonna turn to the question bucket and I'm gonna leave it up to fate and chance. Patrick or Danielle, who wants to give me a number from 1 to 21?
Have you also a question for Austin Walker? Have you filtered out the questions that were duplicates from perhaps a previous podcast that we did?
Most have of you them? Made a dealt with label? That's the thing that I did recently. I made a dealt with label in my inbox.
Danielle, I have a different. If you scroll down to the document that we have entitled Vice City Podcast.
Oh,
notes,
yes.
You can
which will never
the,
change.
It's a little question bucket.
That is the name of this podcast, even if it's not.
In our hearts, in our minds.
Yeah. So give me a number from 1 to 21. And if you pick one that's already one we've done, I'll just go up or down one.
19.
But I'm pretty sure I emptied all the ones out from a couple of weeks ago or a couple of days ago when we recorded.
She said 19. She said 19. The lady 19. Said 19.
Happy 19th birthday to Geriant. This is not... this is a question that has been in this bucket. I put it there on day one. And I've been curious when we would get there. And today, especially after that talk.
A day one pre-order.
I was not looking at this when I picked 19, but this is...
No, you're not even in this doc.
I am now. I just jumped in, but yeah. I see this now.
I don't know what it is. I'm ready.
This is from Jerry.
Hit me. Hit me.
What was that? Okay. Hey, Austin. I don't pretend to know you very well. My opinion of you is not fully formed. My impression is that... my impression of you from the occasional click on your Twitter page is that you're a super liberal left-wing guy that surrounds himself with like-minded people and seems disdainful of people that don't share your politics. So my question is, would you hire someone that identifies as conservative, Republican, right-wing, or that doesn't subscribe to your beliefs on issues regarding topics such as race, gender, and politics? Regards, good luck with the new site. Regards, Geriant.
Oh, boy.
So I think it's a really tough question because I think that there are a number of different things at work there. I wouldn't hire someone who women and queer people and people of color in my workplace wouldn't feel comfortable with, who would feel like, threatening, in any way or that would diminish their right to exist in the way that they would. But I would definitely hire someone who had different ideas about what taxation should be, right? Politics is not just a spectrum. Politics is way more complicated than a spectrum, right? Like, it's more complicated than a pair of axes. It's a sphere with an infinite number of points. And so I wouldn't have a litmus test for that sort of thing, but there is a gut check of, like, are you interested in the mission that we have here, which is about exploring culture? It's coming from a place where we believe that games are art. We're not going to make that argument. It's coming from a place that believes that diversity is real and that we should live in a diverse world and reflect that diverse world. It is coming from a place that believes that, like, people should be treated with equitability. We can debate about what that means, but if your baseline is not that, then, like, that's not a disqualifier, but it is a thing we'll have to talk about, you know? What about you guys? Like, is there any, have you run across this as a thing in the past?
Constantly.
In any way?
Constantly. Yeah. I mean, yeah, even in previous workplaces, even at the ACLU, there were definitely lots of folks who identified as libertarian, who were more on the civil liberties side than the civil rights side, for sure. Good friends, close friends. Mm-hmm. I have a lot of close friends who are conservatives. A lot of folks that I do EMS work with identify as, like, super conservative, but with everything, and, like, I try to be super out and proud and be, like, you know, privilege as a white person, but I, as a, you know, invisible minority or whatever, as a queer person, I try to be, like, fucking gay, y'all, or bi, you know, basically.
Yep.
And to get that out there and just be, like, look, if you don't see me as a human being or an equal human being, we can't do this. If we come from that sort of, that place of value of, like, every person has a right to be who they are, mm-hmm. then cool. We can disagree on how we solve problems in America. We can disagree on how we solve problems politically. We can disagree on a lot of sort of fundamental things from that point of view. But if you don't legitimately believe that I have as much of a right to be who I am, to marry who I love, to, you know, those kinds of things, then I can't. Like you need to recognize my value as a human being. I will recognize your value as a human being. And we can have differing opinions from there, basically.
Totally. Patrick?
Yeah.
Same.
Same. I mean,
same, to be honest.
I feel like part of this question does come from this place of, I mean, it is true, like 100% that video game coverage is like, and most of the media like skews liberal. Like, so I think what he's extrapolating is a little too much of like someone's entire political opinion from what they think about sort of like social justice and human rights issues, maybe. When I think a lot of people are more complicated than that, like, right, like if you're a libertarian, like, holy shit, do I have a lot of differences with you on a lot of things that don't necessarily have to do with, like, you know, your right to get married and respecting trans rights and things like that. But I think it is a fair point to say that the games media, like a lot of media, tilts in that direction. And I try to be cognizant of that, but also, like, I'm limited in what I'm, you know, given that a lot of my work and a lot of work that we do, like, it comes from a certain perspective. And I think what Waypoint as a website tries to do is be pretty upfront with what that perspective is.
Absolutely.
Right? I think part of the problem with how running an outlet was handled in the past and what's been a painful transition for a lot of outlets that have straddled, you know, been around long enough to, like, see this pivot happen to more personal opinions being, like, directly part of what you're writing and talking about, is sort of a kickback on, like, that transition. Like, well, I wanted this, and now you're doing this. Whereas I think, you know, at Waypoint, we try to say, look, like, it's fine if you disagree with us, but we're coming from a very specific perspective, and we're being honest about that up front of what that perspective is. What you can expect from that, what kind of angles on stories you could probably expect we're going to write about, you know, after that. And so, like, if that you're not into that, that's fine. Like, go somewhere else and find it. We're just not going to pretend that we're representing the whole spectrum, because our spectrum is within a certain, from a certain angle. And I think we're proud of that and do work that's built on that. And I think it's better to be honest about that up front so that people, they know what they're getting, you know, they're getting. Like, so, you know, it's not to say, Austin, that, you know, like you said, you wouldn't hire someone that skewed a little differently or things like that. But I think at the end of the day, Waypoint has a certain point of view, and we're committed to that because that's what made us want to do this in the first place.
Totally. And, like, I think that a lot of that ends up being, what sort of questions are the questions you want to ask to begin with, right? Like, it is partially like, how do you solve problems, or what sort of solutions seem to make sense to you politically. But in terms of our coverage, it ends up being like, are you interested in the sorts of things we're interested in that go beyond this game? Is this game good or not?
Yeah.
I think inside of the game sphere, there are a number of people who are really only interested in, like, is this thing worth my money? And sometimes that comes from a consumer protection perspective. Sometimes that comes from games are not a super expressive medium. They're just a pastime perspective. Sometimes that comes from a number of different perspectives. And a lot of those perspectives just wouldn't line up with what we're trying to do, which is we're taking as a given that games are doing something special and interesting and deserve attention. The culture around them deserves attention. The labor that goes into producing them deserves attention. The context in which they're deployed, in which they're released, in which they reflect, and, you know, that in which they impact, all of that deserves attention. And so there might be a core level of like understanding the world to be a certain way that is required, but that isn't about like who you voted for necessarily. Yeah. This year, that might be who you vote, like that might reflect that, but probably not even this year. Like, you know, I think that there are people, you know, I think at the primary season, especially, there are lots of people in the games industry who voted for different people across across both major parties in the U.S. Yeah. Things that are more complicated, let's say, or less complicated in some ways in the general election. But and I think that that's the thing is like if you come to me saying like I have really fucking good questions to ask and I have the methodology to go out and answer those questions, whether that's through critical essays or it's through great reporting. You know, that's something I'm going to be interested in. You know, I don't necessarily do a litmus test on every freelancer who writes to us. But we are careful when someone says like, oh, I really want to write about sex work. I'm like, okay, well, like we're going to have a talk about sex work. Like we're going to have to like, I don't want to write an article that punches down at sex workers or punches at sex workers. Right.
Well, and there's been a, let's, you know, be clear. There's been a history of
totally.
Certain sections of the internet of pitching articles to outlets and hiding the fact that they're doing so, so that they can. Well, I mean, you know, there was an incident over at Offworld. It was like a year ago or something like that, in which you know they self-identified as part of Gamergate and then pitched an article, got it published, and by certain accounts, the article was fine, but then they used the fact that they got published as evidence to try and drag Offworld and make them look bad. And like that's a thing that happens. People hide their views so they can try and they can punch you later. And so like that vetting process is like it does come into play, but you know, it's complicated.
Yeah. It is complicated.
Politics it's are tougher, complicated. But, imagine.
But they're worth engaging with, right? Yes. Like they're necessary. You're engaging with them. You're engaging with them. Be aware that you're engaging with them. Be conscious of how you're engaging with them and like try to be upfront about that shit. And like that's kind of what our mission is. Yeah. So we're gonna keep doing that mission, but we're gonna probably not do that mission. Well, that's not true. We're gonna be doing it next week with our special year end coverage.
Hell yeah.
For sure. Fucking get ready. We are mixing it up, I think, a little bit. We're doing some stuff that I think you'll all be super, super excited for. Make sure that you come and check it out. Obviously you can come do that at waypoint.vice.com, waypoint.zone, bazinga.zone, digitalpyramids.com. Just the aliases.
And quick shout out. Danica is going to be doing Christmas streaming. I think like all day, basically.
All day Christmas.
She's going to be streaming all kinds of good stuff. So come to the Twitch stream for that.
Twitch.tv/waypoint. Yeah. Shout out to Danica. Where can people find you two on Twitter and on Facebook?
How long is this gonna go?
Yeah,
we're gonna see.
How long are we gonna support this Facebook?
It's still 2016. This pilot program is gonna happen until the end of 2016.
One more week.
See, I don't have a problem with mentioning the Facebook page. I just enjoy every podcast. Like, in what tone is Austin going to mention that part of the sign off?
Facebook.
Facebook.
I'm not sure. That was my Mickey Mouse.
I like that. Okay. That was not bad.
Mm.
It was not a bad Mickey. Well, you can find me, Danielle R.I., on Twitter, and Danielle Riendo, writer, on Facebook.
Thank you. Patrick.
Find me on Twitter, at Patrick Klupik, and you can find me at Pete Klupik on Facebook. Is this, am I doing it right?
Yeah, that's it. That's the way to do it.
Have fun editing this, Tim.
Thanks. This one's mine, so this is going to be fun.
This is Danielle. Yay. Yeah. Shout out to Tim Barnes, who is not editing this podcast, but who is editing next week's Monday and Friday podcast. I'll spoil this much. Monday is a special question bucket episode. I was sure that last one was going to come up in the question bucket. It did not.
It was better to come up today after like the discussion we were having.
Totally. 100% perfect. Yeah. So, you know, check us out on Monday. You can find me on Twitter at Austin_Walker, on Facebook at Austin Walker Games.
This is a visual novel.
This is a visual novel.
It really is at this point. Yeah.
Was 2016 a visual novel?
2016 was a visual novel.
That started over. Pick another path.
Patrick, we got the bad end.
We did.
You died.
We got the bad end. Twitter.com/waypoint, Facebook.com/waypointvice, YouTube.com/waypointvice. And hey, we have some cool stuff in the Twitch archives that we're going to try to get properly archived in the near future. But I did a stream this week on with Jack DeKeet, one of our columnists, where we played the Division's Survival DLC. And it went really well and also really poorly and also really well.
Yeah.
So take a look at that. There was also a Rocket League stream with Joel and Taji. Taji, you might remember from the 72-hour stream. Both of those should be in the archives here on Twitch.
He did yoga with Carl's Jr. star. If you want a like good visual for who Taji is, that was him. He did shirtless yoga with the Carl star.
He also played Tony Hawk Ride.
He sure did. Another good he sure visual. Did. Yeah.
Happy Festivus. Happy holidays. Catch us in the new year. Shout outs, of course, to Bowen, who lets us use his track Miss You off of the EP Pale Machine. You can find out more info about Bowen at waypoint.zone/BOEN. We did it. It's the last live podcast of the year.
Yeah.
Danielle, Patrick, live audience.
Thanks, folks.
Queens, Brooklyn, Chicago. I will see all of you in 2016. Until then.
In 2016.
Peace. 2017. Damn it!
We went back in time!
Peace.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.